Hello and welcome
to Ghoul Society. That's my fiance Montana.
And that's my fiance Sarah.
We're grateful to be recording on the unceded stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples whose historical relationships with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society. And everybody, welcome Montana. Claps, snaps.
Thank you.
Snaps, welcome back.
Thank you. First recording, or first recurring guest.
First recurring guest.
Mm-hmm. That's big.
Yeah.
First recurring host, actually. So.
Oh, yeah. First recurring co-host.
Co-host.
Yeah.
Sucks to be Jamie. She's Sorry. Out. Oh. I'm in. She's
How
out,
does
I'm in.
It feel to be on the podcast again?
Fantastic. I'm pumped. I wanted Sarah to give me something real spooky. Yeah. I'm pretty pumped to be on the show again.
I'm pretty pumped to have you.
Thank you. I'm really excited for all my fans. They've been clamoring.
Yeah, my DMs. The fans have been wanting you.
Everyone's been saying, when are you going to be on Ghoul Society? Calm down.
And everybody's been wanting a local story.
Is this local?
Maybe.
Ooh.
You got anything else to tell the listeners? It's summertime. We just went to the lake.
We did just go to the lake. It was very nice. It was really hot.
Really hot. The UV was like 8.
I'm feeling like...
sleepy.
I'm feeling like I spent the day in the indoor swimming pool as a kid.
Yeah.
And I get home.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to nap.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
After this, I'm going to make my D&D character sheet because Montana has really been looking into the DMing aspect of D&D, and we're hoping to kind of put a little, maybe a one-off campaign to start with our friends.
I'm not too sure. Yeah, we'll have to see. I don't know how many of our friends have the attention span for anything longer than one campaign thing, like one session thing.
Right.
So we'll see.
Thank God they don't listen to this. You'd hurt their feelings, but they don't listen, so it's fine.
Well, even if they do listen. I think they'd understand. It's a long commitment.
It is a very long commitment. D&D is a long commitment. But you know what else is? Survivor. And we do that all the time.
That's true. We should definitely edit this out.
Why?
We're just talking crap.
No, we're not.
That's true. Survivor is very long. But it's definitely different, though. Because D&D is like the nerdiest thing ever. It's super nerdy. So
I think they could get into it, though.
Yeah, we'll see.
But anyway, so...
they don't even know I'm doing D&D, though. No. So they have no idea.
Gotta do my character sheet because I didn't know that there was a new version, so...
yep. And then we have to help our friend.
Yeah.
Do
his. Because he hasn't done it yet. And he's learning.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all still learning, but Montana definitely, you know the most.
Yeah.
Of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is going to be super fun later today. We just got ice cream.
We did get
Parachute ice cream because they opened a new location by...
maybe a sponsor place. Would be nice.
Parachute ice cream, if you're
reach
listening,
out.
Sponsor this podcast.
We don't need money. We just need ice cream.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah. I would do an ice cream ad at the beginning of every episode if they wanted that.
100%.
It's probably... the best ice cream I've ever had.
Let's scratch that because they're not sponsoring us yet. So it's all right.
No, it's really good.
It's mediocre at best unless they sponsor us.
He's lying.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, do you want me to just start? Nala's also here with us, one of our cats.
She is.
She's here with us. She's laying
She's our audio tech.
She is the audio tech for the day and she looks so cute. Maybe I'll take a photo.
Mm-hmm.
Our little bestie. Let's, can you move the mess? Oh, well, now she ran away.
That's not on me, she, though.
Montana made her run away.
I did.
So that's pretty messed up.
All right, guys, let's just jump into it.
Let's jump in. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Picture this. You're walking through the forest on Mount Sicker, just north of Duncan, mm-hmm. and you finally come across the almost impossible to see rubble of the old Lenora town site.
Okay.
It's very difficult to find now, but its stories persist, held within the land surrounding it. Located on the traditional territories of the Wasanich, Sioux Neset, Kwutsun, Cayuse, Yamatila, and Walla Walla Nations, and the Kulkuminam Treaty Group, which encompasses the Kwutsun and Hlault Nations in the area we're discussing today.
Okay.
So Mount Sicker has two summit peaks. There's Big Mount Sicker mm-hmm. and Little Mount Sicker Mountain.
Big, little.
Big and little. In the fall of 1895, three prospectors found... And by prospectors, I mean...
Old-timey prospectors?
Colonizers, because it's the 1800s. Anyway, they found traces of copper, gold, and silver on Mount Sicker and staked their claims. They were like, I want that.
I want the big one.
I want that. Thank you. That spring, though, a large wildfire broke out on the western face of Big Mount Sicker, forcing F.L. Sullivan, T. McKay, and Henry Buzzard to flee.
Those are the three prospectors?
Yes.
Okay.
2 years later, in May of 1897, a new partner and quote-unquote pioneer named Harry Smith found an outcropping of copper where the fire had been years earlier.
Hmm.
And thus, the Lenora copper mining claim was staked and was named after his daughter, Lenora okay. Smith. During this time, the price of copper was high, and in total, three companies opened mines in the area. As a result, the community quickly grew to a population of 400, but may have been up to 2,000 at one point, because I kind of saw varying numbers.
Okay. So it boomed.
Yeah. At its height, Mount Sicker and the Lenora town site had a school, a church, an opera house, and even a hotel to house wealthy investors of the mines. Two other mines were constructed on Mount Sicker in the early 1900s, the Tai Mine and the Richard III Mine, both of which were profitable, but not to the same extent that the Lenora mine was.
Okay.
Due to the demand of all three mines, a railway was installed.
Whoa, we don't even have those.
I know. Between the Lenora town site and the mine, and was eventually extended to a new town, now known as Crofton, where the smelter was located on the waterfront.
Right.
Crofton raw materials is, like, on training. The way to Duncan. Like, by Chemainus.
Love Chemainus.
Yeah. We're big Chemainus fans.
Big.
Also, Chemainus has, like, a mural of the Lenora town site.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, pretty famous. The Lenora and Richard III mines operated until 1907, while the Tai mine was operational intermittently between 1901 and 1909. In total, the three mines produce over 1,700 kilograms of gold, 22,000 kilograms of silver,
yeah,
and 9,100 tons of copper.
That's a lot of cheddar cheese.
Mm-hmm. 1,700 kilograms of gold is worth $170,617,100 in 2025.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 22 kilograms of silver is now worth around $35,605,000.
Okay.
And 9,100 tons of copper would be worth around $123 million.
They were doing okay.
They were doing really well.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Until 1907, when the price of copper plummeted and the Crofton smelter closed. By November of 1908, the mine's assets were taken by the sheriff and Mount Sicker became a ghost town.
The mine was... The profits were taken by the sheriff?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know. I just were saw that debt? The mine's assets were taken away.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Someone wasn't paying the tax man.
Probably not. I mean, it was the late 1800s.
Yeah. Interesting. So copper plummets, everything turns ass up.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
So that happened. It's pretty wild. In the late 1940s to early 1950s, the Leonora mine was actually explored again, and it was mined again until the 1970s.
Okay.
But with modern mining technology, there was no need to rebuild a town on Mount Sicker.
Yeah.
And many of the buildings from the late 1800s were left to rot and were eventually torn down when logging began on the land.
Okay.
So the logging companies just tore them down.
Yeah.
And I was like,
damn. You know what? You don't see ghost towns anymore.
You don't. That's why I bought that book. Oh, guys, we went to a book sale today. Russell Books had a warehouse sale, and I bought a book of ghosted mining towns in California. That's why I wanted that book, because of this story.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
I thought it would be cool to do some more ghost mine towns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's some in Alberta, too.
Yeah, I'm sure with the amount of deaths, there'd be a lot of, you know, stories.
Yeah. Now, you're probably thinking, Sarah, why the hell are you telling us about this mine?
Yeah.
On this mountain?
I am.
On Vancouver Island.
Where the fuck is the spooky?
Who cares?
Where's the spooky?
I was thinking of what I wanted to cover for this week's episode and decided to flip through The Haunting of Vancouver Island by Shannon Sinn. When I came across The Headless Woman of Mount Sicker.
Oh, great.
So obviously I was immediately intrigued, and I knew I wanted to share this tale on an episode of The Realist.
Oh yeah, I'm The Realist.
Because I knew that you, Montana, might have a lot to say about this specific ghost and haunting.
I bet I will.
Because you're already like, God damn it. No.
I really like spooky. I like, my favorite kind of spooky is, it either needs to be so spooky that, like, I know it's fake, but I don't care. That's how spooky it is kind of thing. Or, like, true crime spooky. If it's anything in between.
Okay, but I've done a lot of true crime recently.
Oh, no.
I didn't say this doesn't have true crime in it.
I'm excited Good. For this. For the Headless Woman of...
Mount Sicker. There you go.
All right, I'm excited. Does she glow like an orb at night, too?
No. So, the headless apparition of a woman from the early 1900s is usually seen on the old logging road where the town site used to be. But she's also been seen down at the base of the mountain.
Okay. Is she holding her head?
Nope.
She just a random body.
She's headless.
Got it.
Not
nearly headless?
Not nearly headless.
Completely
headless.
That's brutal.
And it's thought that she is the spirit of a woman named Mrs. Campbell. And we're going to discuss her story. But this apparition has been seen by many people as... and has kind of become an attraction for Mount Sicker.
Okay.
Because, you know, they want to come and see the ghost.
Yeah.
The most popular story and most in-depth story I could find, and by most popular, I mean it was in the Daily Colonist newspaper.
Oh, well.
Like the 1800s, involves a man named Frederick Charles Beach, who had moved to Mount Sicker from South Wellington, just south of Nanaimo. Frederick worked a claim called the Springfield Claim that he had registered in his own name, and it was on Mount Sicker, so he lived in the old Leonora town site.
Right.
But he didn't work the Leonora mine. He worked his own claim.
A private mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was supposedly well-liked and was friends with the Campbell family, who also moved from South Wellington to Leonora. When Mr. Campbell unexpectedly died in 1905... He, meaning Frederick, became protective to the point of possessive over Mrs. Campbell, who actually complained about it to other people.
She was ready to live her life.
Well, she was like, listen, Frederick won't leave me alone, and he's starting to scare me.
Oh.
And I'm worried.
But Frederick was a creep. He was a creeper.
Yeah. Isn't that sad? Because he was like a family friend, and then her husband died, and then Frederick was like, I want to love you.
Was it like lovey-lovey, creepy-creepy, or just...
Yeah, like he was really protective over her.
Right.
But, and like he wanted to pursue her.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's no good?
Mm-mm.
No, don't like that. I was just starting to like Frederick, too.
Were you? You know nothing about him.
He's a go-getter. I know that, you know? Started his own mind.
Yeah, that's true.
And then he saw Miss Campbell.
Yeah.
And then he just decided to be a creep.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
So on August 20th, young May Campbell, daughter to Mr. and Mrs. Campbell, rushed into the Mount Sicker Hotel to inform proprietor Thomas that Frederick Beach was attempting to kill her mom.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Thomas was like, what the hell? He goes to the porch of the hotel, and Thomas could hear a disturbance from the nearby cabin where Mrs. Campbell supported her three children as a laundress for the community.
Just a go-getter, too.
She really is. Just then, a man named Joe Bibu.
Bibu. I know. That's a good name. Good name.
I know. He was the owner of the Mount Brenton Hotel, which was just like further up the mountain.
How many hotels?
There's like two hotels up here.
That's more than our hometown now.
No, it's not.
Growing up, it was.
Yeah, I know. So he arrives because I guess Mrs. Campbell was able to escape from Frederick and like ran up to the other hotel. Because I think the hotels were in opposite directions.
Okay, so like, daughter went to one, she went to the other after.
Exactly. Okay. So Bibu walked up to the Campbell house, but it was empty. So then he goes back to the Mount Sicker Hotel and he asked Thomas if he knew where Frederick Beach was.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, Thomas had actually seen him run towards a gully down the road. So he's like, I don't know, he's probably over there in the forest or something.
Maybe Thomas should have a little bit more, you know, go-gettingness.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. Over there.
And as Bibu advanced towards the ravine, a rifle shot rang out. And he'd been shot in the stomach.
Bibu?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And they were friends.
Frederick shot Bibu?
Yeah, and they were friends.
Wow.
That's why he was like, what's going on? That's why Mrs. Campbell ran to him. Because they were friends.
Because Miss Campbell... Oh, Frederick and Bibu.
And, yeah.
Were friends.
Yeah.
Frederick then shoots Bibu.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. According to the newspaper, The Daily Colonist, Bibu raised his arms and screamed, "Murder!" and began stumbling backwards towards his hotel when another shot rang out. This time, the bullet tore through his shoulder up to his throat and severing his jugular vein.
Well, he couldn't yell murder anymore.
No.
So oh, my he bled Lord.
Out, obviously. He died.
I love a flair for the dramatic when you're about to...
So dramatic.
Murder!
Murder!
Wow.
Those arms up in the air.
What a way to go out.
Right? Thomas, his wife, and a few of their guests had just watched the cold-blooded murder of Bibu in shock. Thomas ran out towards him when Beach stood out behind some bushes, apparently staring at Bibu with no emotion.
Damn.
As women from the Mount Sicker Hotel began to scream, Beach raised his rifle towards Thomas, who began running back to his hotel. Beach apparently fired two shots at Thomas, both of which missed and struck the hotel's wooden structure.
Damn, Thomas wanted none of it.
Well, he was scared.
Yeah, no.
He didn't have a gun on him, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's when Beach just began walking back towards his cabin.
What?
Mm-hmm.
He just shot, murdered someone and was like, you know what? It's time to go home.
Yeah, pretty
like
much.
After a long day.
Yeah. Many miners who were alerted by the shooting recovered Bibu's body from the street and gathered at the hotel. Eventually, word was sent to a constable A.H. Lamas in Duncan and constable R.B. Hallhead of Chemainus, who once in Lenora recruited a posse of miners and dispatched armed guards to all road junctions and trails leading from the mountainside.
When you say a posse of minors, I just imagine youths. Just angry looking youths.
They probably were youths. I know. Though, I know. Because it's the late 1800s and yeah. They're mining.
Just so a 15 year old with a coal face.
Yeah, like not even just old men or like adults.
Yeah.
There's probably kids too.
Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Bunch of go getters.
Exactly. They then moved towards Beach's cabin and ordered Beach to surrender. Mm. Eventually, they broke his door down, but he wasn't there. There's only three letters in the cabin.
Oh, a little flair for the dramatic.
One was a goodbye letter to his friends in Lenora and the surrounding community. The other letters confirmed that his friend Bibeau had been at the wrong place at the wrong time. And Beach blamed Mrs. Thomas, wife of the hotel owner, claiming that she was coming between him and Mrs. Campbell.
What?
Yeah.
So he attempts to kill Miss Campbell, gets caught by the daughter, then he shoots a friend, and he's like, you know what? It's the hotel owner's wife's fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe he wasn't trying to kill Mrs. Campbell. Maybe he was trying to sexually assault her.
Right.
And then her daughter was like, what is, like, restraint kind of stuff. And then right. maybe her daughter was like, he's trying to kill my mom.
Sure.
Because, you know, kids don't know. Exactly. Kids don't know
anything. I mean, sexual assault can lead to killing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And Mrs. Campbell's always, like, screaming and freaking out. Yeah, yeah. So, you know.
So he thought it was Mrs. Thomas's fault because she was getting in the way of Miss Campbell falling for Frederick.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Probably because I assume Mrs. Thomas was probably one of the people who Mrs. Campbell went and complained to about.
Right.
About Frederick. Being like, he's really creeping me out and he's following me around. And
yeah.
He's obsessed with me. You know? The assembled posse retired back to the hotel and Mrs. Campbell was placed in protective custody. And by that, I mean she was placed in a room upstairs in the hotel and she wasn't allowed to leave.
Yeah.
Beach was known to be a smart wilderness man, so they knew he could have fled into the woods or towards the ocean, namely Barkley Sound, but they expected him to return to some point of civilization by hunger or that he would kill himself since he left those letters. Because they were kind of like suicide notes.
Okay, yeah.
2 days later, Beach actually slipped past the police and returned to Lenora.
What?
Yeah, I don't know
who. How big is this town where he can just do that?
I don't know. He was determined to finish what he had started.
Whoa.
Hiding 50 yards from the hotel, he made himself known by firing a bunch of shots in the air. Pow, pow, pow.
Dude, everyone is such a little diva in this town.
He's such a diva. Legend goes that Mrs. Campbell rushed towards a window in the hotel.
That is the stupidest.
When a bullet whizzed past her, causing her to faint. What Beach didn't know, though, is that Constable R.B. Hallhead and A.H. Lamas were in the hotel. So they rushed outside, and Beach knew he had no chance of getting near Mrs. Campbell.
Right.
And so he shot himself and killed himself with his own rifle.
What a diva.
It's thought that when Beach saw Mrs. Campbell faint, he assumed he'd killed her and achieved his goal of killing her.
Right.
Because if he can't have her, no one can have her.
That's how I feel about you.
Right. Okay. Anyway.
Edit that out. Cut that.
It's thought that
Frederick Beach.
Thank you. It's thought that Frederick Beach had become manic and obsessive over Mrs. Campbell.
Yeah.
Because he was so isolated from the other people in the town because he lived and worked alone.
Right.
You know.
Sure.
And he likely kept all of his thoughts to himself and began a perpetual cycle of thinking like, no one can have her. Just me. Kind of thing. Like, I want to pursue her and no one else can be with her.
Sure.
Any man who spoke with Mrs. Campbell was viewed as a criminal, and every person who had protected her was his enemy. I think he saw her as his object.
Yeah.
He was like, I own her now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's really sad.
Could just be a wacko, too.
Could just be a wacko.
Could just be a wacko.
So if Mrs. Campbell was a survivor of Frederick Beach, why is her spirit seen on Mount Sicker?
That is what Bibbo I'm wondering.
While Bibbo and Beach aren't.
That's a good point.
Right?
You know, this is the problem with these ghost rules. It makes no sense.
So
she better be headless by the end of this, I promise. Or I'm going to flip my lid.
No, that's the end of Mrs. Campbell's story. She died.
What?
I couldn't find anything else about her. Like, her life.
She didn't get guillotined or mining accident?
No, I don't think she died on the mountain because...
It's natural causes.
They didn't have, like... I don't think there was a cemetery up there. I think she lived her life.
Listeners, I appreciate you guys watching and listening to this podcast. But please make it make sense. That's all I'm saying. I will let you finish your story. Maybe I'll come around. Maybe this is the time where the realist becomes the believist. But the believer. However, wouldn't it make more sense for the ghost of what's the mountain called again?
Mount Sicker.
Mount Sicker. Wouldn't the ghost of Mount Sicker make more sense to be Bibbo?
Yeah.
And you just hear murder, murder.
Well, that's a really good voice.
Thanks.
I mean, yeah, but the paranormal community often claims that apparitions appear where that spirit experienced trauma. So it ties them back to a specific object or place.
Okay.
This is more commonly seen in residual hauntings, where apparitions can be seen doing or saying something over and over, kind of in a loop.
Right.
But many cultures hold the idea that when something traumatic happens to a person, a piece of their spirit becomes tethered to that place.
Right.
It's through this information that I think Mrs. Campbell can be seen on Mount Sicker, though I'm not sure why she would appear headless.
Thank you.
headless spirits are long ebbed into many cultures' folklore.
Mm-hmm.
The headless horseman is the most common headless spirit that people think of.
An OG.
Yeah. Most commonly associated.
I'm dead. Sound it out.
Most commonly associated with the legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Right.
The spirit is also known as the Dullahan in Irish legends. In Greek and Roman mythology, headless people called Blemies are thought to inhabit remote parts of the world. But these people have no head and they have faces on their torsos.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different.
Well, did she have a dress? Maybe she was hiding it.
Maybe.
You know?
Chinese folklore contains headless ghosts called Wutu, Gi, and are often spirits of people who have been decapitated, and they wander around looking for their heads. Many tales of headless ghosts maintain that they are restless and vengeful spirits looking for revenge for their death, or as I mentioned above, they are the spirits of people who cannot find peace. So, I don't know, maybe
okay, she's like trying on. To avenge so, her death. Yeah, but, so they're saying that headless spirits are spirits that are somewhat like a piece of them is missing and
yeah.
So they can't find peace. But isn't that every ghost? Isn't that like every ghost is like, oh, they haven't found peace, so they're trapped in like the half between, you know?
Well, I think that people can come and visit as they please.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, most commonly, yeah.
Right. So, okay. So she's either super vengeful, right? Or she just hasn't found her peace yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the story I just described of Mrs. Campbell was noted, as I said, in Victoria's Daily Colonist newspaper, though it said that the headless woman of Mount Sicker was killed when a miner found his wife cheating on him and killed her, either on purpose or by accident, when he attempted to kill the man she was sleeping with.
Wait, so it might not be Miss Campbell?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's most commonly associated associated with her because that's the only written record of like,
something
that's the most
tragic.
Terrible thing that happened there.
Well, it sounds like someone got murdered.
But this is like folklore.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's said that the husband then dismembered her body and scattered her remains around the Lenora town site. Damn. Legend goes that she has been searching for her missing head ever since. But again, it's not impossible, but there's no written record of this domestic murder ever happening in Lenora.
Right.
So, yeah. While many deaths did happen in the mines, they would have been almost, if not all, men, or mm-hmm. probably some children, because the 1800s. Even though we're not exactly sure who the Headless Woman of Mount Sicker is, she has remained in the island's local legend and continues to draw people to attempt to find the old Lenora town site.
Mm-hmm.
This apparition is often seen gliding across the road where Lenora used to lie, searching for her lost head.
Where the fuck did I leave it? That kind of thing.
No, like it's been buried. Like she. If I
just retrace my steps, I'll find it.
Yeah, exactly. From the book, The Haunting of Vancouver Island, there are a few accounts of the Headless Woman of Mount Sicker. One comes from 2014 when someone named Larry Baker commented on Shannon Sinn's online blog called Living Library. So Larry claimed that he and some others visit the old town site and its hotel when it was still in ruins before the logging companies tore it all down. And he described seeing something on the remains of the hotel floor. And it was almost as if they were looking through old glass. And one of the other people there mentioned seeing a woman in a barrel hoop dress standing on the floor of the hotel. So they saw the same thing. But right. he saw it like right. Like he was looking through her. Yeah.
Interesting.
What do you think about that evidence?
Interesting. So two people are like, I saw something.
Yeah.
Can you repeat them one more? So someone saw her right up close.
Like up looking close through her. Like looking through old glass.
She spun in or something?
Well, I don't know.
Nah, yeah, it's fair you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, you know what? People see what people see things. I don't know. Is this where you tell me it was midnight and then the candles were out in the hotel or something?
No, honey. The hotel was in rubble.
No, I know. Yeah. Was this not at another hotel, sorry?
No.
Just on the road.
No, honey. This was at the old Lenora Hotel on Mount Sicker.
Just told me that the hotel was torn down, though.
They went there before the logging companies completely tore down the rest of the buildings.
Oh,
so it was a ghost town.
Ghost town abandoned.
Yes.
Two different people claimed to have seen it.
Well, they were their friends. They were there together.
Okay, dokie. I see.
Yeah. Another commenter named Sam shared that his ex-girlfriend's father claimed that
my ex-girlfriend's father's brother's dog saw her.
Claimed Thursday. That the woman had suddenly walked in front of his truck one night while he was driving up the old logging road.
Right.
He swerved to miss her, but lost control of his vehicle. And despite being in quite a bad accident, he came out relatively fine. Oh, that's Simba. When he climbed out of his truck to see if he had killed the woman, he realized he was alone on the mountain. Reportedly, the most convincing story of seeing the spirit of Mount Sicker was reported in the Ladysmith Shamanist Chronicle. The article, written by Ed Nicholson, noted that a man named Rob Kernchen said that he had seen the woman on Mount Sicker Road. He described her as a pale-looking woman wearing a white nightgown, and she was walking down the side of the road before she disappeared. But that's just a classic tale of a woman in white.
Yeah.
And, like, back road stuff. So, who knows?
Who knows? It's always like, I'm writing a blog and another person told me that they saw this person. I've never, like, not even you. Like, you, like, will sometimes say, like, I felt something. Or, I think I've seen something.
Yeah.
But it's like, knowing that I know, and I know so many people that believe in ghosts are just like most of my family believes. Most of our friends, I believe.
Most of your family believes?
Mm-hmm.
Since when?
Since a while. Oh. I think I'm the outlier here. But
just
like,
get it
like,
from your dad's side.
Yeah, but like, no one's ever been like, I've seen a ghost. Yep.
I have seen a ghost. I saw one at work.
Okay.
I did.
Okay, then research it and pull it up. Who is it? What? Who is it? Who's at your work?
I don't know.
These records. Shoddy records.
I know people who have seen spirits.
Right.
What do you think about that? Well, okay. Well, so that's the end of my story. That is the Headless Women of Mount Sicker.
I enjoyed it. I really...
Do you like the flair of dramatics?
Yeah. I really love
the... Murder!
Murder! Murder! Get your murder here!
Yeah.
Why isn't... What's his name? Bibbo. Why isn't Bibbo good enough to get his own ghost? What do you think he's lacking that she isn't, you know? And why the fuck is she headless?
I don't know why she's headless.
Why is she headless?
Maybe she just lost her head.
Do you think she can see?
I don't know how that works.
Do you think she sees spirits through her missing head and she's like, I just see forest.
Like that one shell guy on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
When his head gets kicked off and then he's calling to his... But he's calling to his body.
Yeah.
So then how does the body hear?
You see, now I'm turning you into a skeptic. This is what's happening.
No, I believe that there's a spirit up there. Is she headless? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe she's not headless and people just can't see her head.
Well, then those people shouldn't be reporting that they've seen a ghost because obviously they can't see right.
Well.
I just want to know what makes a ghost headless? Like, is it almost like genetics, but for ghosts? Like, it's like, oh, sorry.
Maybe.
Bad luck.
Well, it's usually people their heads have been cut off. Yeah. So that's why people think that it's a story of a woman who was caught cheating on her husband and then her husband dismembered her.
But that's just folklore.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. I love a good ghost story because I find them funny.
Yeah. This one is funny.
It's really funny.
I know.
Murder. This girl, after almost dying and then someone dying from her almost dying.
Yeah.
Hears a gunshot while she's in protective custody. She's like, well, I wonder what that was. she goes to look at a window. What are you doing? Multiple gunshots in the air? And you're like, I wonder who that could be.
She's curious.
I guess. She just Maybe wants I would to do know. That too.
I would do that.
What's going on out there?
Yeah. We're nosy.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, maybe I would do that too. Thank goodness she fainted, I suppose.
Right? No. He would have killed her otherwise.
Also, Frederick. I feel like Frederick would make a fine ghost.
He'd make a scary ghost.
Yeah, I know. There needs to be more scary ghosts.
He'd be like a freaking...
She's thinking really hard.
He'd be a poltergeist.
A poltergeist.
Yeah.
Can you explain the difference for me real quick?
Of a poltergeist and a...
Please.
Like a regular spirit?
Yeah, just a regular Joe spirit and then a poltergeist.
Well, I think that poltergeist moves, just like inherently move things and like scare people.
They're more... Oh, okay.
But I can double check. Okay, so ghosts are generally considered to be the spirits of deceased humans. Oh, poltergeists are often described as disruptive, mischievous entities that are not necessarily tied to a specific person or place.
Mm.
And are known for creating physical disturbances.
Okay.
I think that Frederick Beach would have been a poltergeist.
Just moving stuff.
Yeah, he would have been fucking shit up.
Right. Yeah, maybe. But like, why doesn't he get that? You think he found peace? Did he find peace?
I feel like he wouldn't have found peace once he realized that he was dead and Mrs. Campbell wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. So you'd think his spirit would be around.
I don't know. Maybe he haunted her. We don't know.
What about this?
Mm-hmm.
Follow me here.
Okay.
Frederick did become poltergeist. She did become a spirit. He was like, got you now. Chops her head off as a ghost.
Could be.
He has her head.
Could be.
Yeah.
You never know.
I think I figured it out, listeners.
I think maybe. Who knows?
I love ghosts.
Do you have anything else to add?
I will say... I liked this story a lot.
Mm-hmm.
However, a skeptic I shall remain. I'm sorry. It hasn't won me over. Maybe next episode. Am I on next week? Or the not?
Yeah, we have to do one more until Jamie's back.
Well, I'm just replacing Jamie, so I'm assuming I'm just...
You can take that up with your sister-in-law.
Sorry, you're lost. Yeah, I think I'm the realist. I think...
I'm the realist.
The what? What did I say?
You were just like, I'm the realist.
I'm the real. Listeners.
I'm the realist.
I'm the realist, all right?
You are a realist.
Yeah. I think what we need to do, mm-hmm. and the listeners need to chime in, we need to go to an abandoned asylum, a haunted, spooky place, and we need to record a podcast at 2 a.m. talking about the spirit.
Yeah, Jamie and I are going to get a ghost box, and we want to do that. Do you want to join us?
Yeah, as long as you guys don't gang up on me.
No, but because just, then I'll feel protected.
That's fine, but I'm going to laugh and egg it on. If nothing happens.
Okay, maybe it's a bad idea because I'm then going something's going to gonna follow us home.
Nothing's going to follow us home because there's nothing out there. Uh-oh.
You can't make fun of me then when we leave and I say you cannot follow us home.
And I say, get in the car.
No, Montana. There are really serious boundaries that you will not cross if you come with us.
Yeah, that's fine. I will respect it enough for you to feel safe.
I guess that's all you can ask for.
When you're dealing with a realist.
And on that note,
you've all been inducted to the school Ghoul Society.
Thanks, guys.
We'll catch you not next week, but the week after.
And if you have any questions, comments, critiques, or concerns, you can DM us on Instagram at Ghoul Society Pod, mm-hmm. or you can send us an email at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com, and leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a good rating.
Please.
Let us know what you think about the realist episodes.
Be nice.
I know this is only the second one. Do you want more?
Nice. You better.
Be nice. Do you like Montana?
As a person? Do you like me as a person?
Are you a realist like Montana? Maybe we should get more
realists. Probably not. I mean, if they're listening to this podcast, probably not.
Well, some people only listen for the true crime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, stay for the ghost, guys. Even I do.
Come for the true crime, stay for the ghost. No.
You can still get a little spooked up listening to a ghost story if you don't believe it.
Well, I think a lot of people we'll probably mainly listen during Halloween. Listen, guys, it's mid-July.
It's spooky season, guys.
It is almost time for spooky season.
Sarah's time to shine.
It is almost time. Also, Halloween is on a Friday this year.
It'll be big.
It'll be huge.
Huge.
Maybe we should go to the cemetery.
Ooh, yeah. Start interview. Can we interview the headstones?
Yes.
What's your name? What's your occupation? How'd you die? Thank you so much.
And on that note, we will see you guys next time.
Next time. Bye-bye. Bye. Are we recording right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can you let send it?
Yeah, sorry, guys. Just an intermission. Our freaking cat wants in. Oh, we're not going to be able to fucking record it. This guy. Come on, listeners, can have a kitty break. That can be your sign-off.